Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
On Twitter, at Rich Cioli. Zelensky hung out with Trump today. And unlike yesterday, where Kamala Harris pretended like she was the vice president doing an official government reception with the leader of another country, which was really a campaign event, and Trump just met with the guy as a candidate and said, I'm busy campaigning, but we'll see how things go after the election. Oh, and some really shocking numbers on the border that just came in as Trump is speaking right now in Michigan, saying every state is a border state. So we got all that going on right now. Yes, we do. It's a lot. At the very start, I want to mention, you know, I'm looking at the polling data, and I think that the biggest thing that Democrats have to worry about, and I'll cite a guy named Tim Miller. So Tim Miller is a guy who hates Trump. He was a Republican. He was a Jeb guy, Jeb exclamation mark. And he predicted that Trump would lose in 2016. In fact, there's this famous video of him and another pollster arguing about this. And the guy was saying, no, Trump's going to win. And, you know, Tim Miller's all arrogant. He's like, no, he's not going to win. Anyway, he's now freaking out on social media because the polls are so close. And the acknowledgement is two things. Number one, Tim Walz is a problem for Kamala Harris. And the Pod Save America bros are mentioning this as well. Walz brings nothing to the ticket. Number two, these very, very close polls show something. And that is this. If Trump was this close in 2016 and Joe Biden was that far ahead in 2020, but then only beat Trump by a smaller margin, is Trump really ahead now by a big, big number? Ah, and that's what they're freaking out about. That's what they're freaking out about. That the polls are actually not reflecting that Trump is doing really, really well right now in the swing states. And he's beating her, and it's not tied, and he's probably up by 2 or 3 points, and that this is much more similar to 2016. But you can also say it's similar to 2020 in the sense that Biden had big leads, and Biden did not win by those big leads. And Trump's lead in 20 and Hillary's lead in 2016 was obviously not real at all. But Trump is polling higher now than he's ever polled before. His favorables are up higher than they are ever before. And so if the last two elections are predictive of anything, it's that he's probably doing better in Michigan, better in Pennsylvania than anybody is letting on to. And so that's what is causing them the freak out right now. They're realizing that if the polls are showing a tie or Harris plus one, it's probably looking more like it's Trump up by 3 points, 2.5, 3 points. So I just wanted to get that out right away. I'm not trying to give false hope, and I'm certainly not trying to make anyone feel overconfident. I'm not trying to do anything like that in any way, shape, or form. I'm just telling you what the other side is saying, because I follow that stuff, and I look at that, and I see them freaking out. And that guy, Tim Miller, posted a GIF of himself yesterday. I think he called it a GIF, of him breathing ferociously into a paper bag, like one of those, you know, cartoon characters of himself, breathing into a paper bag as he's looking at all these poll numbers. And people were responding to that, and they're acknowledging, wow, if these polls are this close, it probably means Trump is up even more. And on that point, too, I think it's also important for Democrats to recognize what a loss they had by not picking Josh Shapiro. So, Josh, I heard this from a friend, and I don't know if it's true or not, but apparently Shapiro goes into this meeting with the Harris people, right? And he makes all these demands. And they're like, this guy's a jerk. We don't want him. And they just didn't pick him. And Shapiro was very popular in Pennsylvania. By not picking him, they made a mistake. Because Walz is not that popular in Minnesota. And so he brings nothing to the table. And yet, the biggest problem that the Harris campaign has right now is with men. Men. Not just white men, not just black men or Hispanic men, but all men, all dudes, dudes of all stripes. They have a male problem, big time. And I know that the media tells you that Trump has this big gender gap with Kamala Harris. It's actually not as big as you think. It's way bigger for Harris when it comes to men than it is Trump with women in the swing states. I don't care what national polls say. They're irrelevant. I don't pay attention to them. Just ignore them. Look at the swing state polls. Kamala Harris has a major problem with men. And if you don't believe me, then I have some audio for you that I can share that with you, because I know that if you're listening and you hate me, and I've gotten a few hate mails in the last couple of days. In fact, one person sent me a nasty note and even threatened that they were going to go public with their nasty, nasty email that they sent me. But I'll save her the time and I'll just read it for you on the air. So this way she doesn't even have to worry about going public with it. I'll just read it for you. Make it easier. Oh, an update on the shingles. Basically, we are planning, we're hoping to stream today on YouTube again. It's contained in my neck. My eye's a lot better, and I'm wearing a, I got an Eagles quarter zip. I got the collar up around my neck, pulling like an 80s look a little bit to kind of cover it up. So if we can figure out the Zoom link, and maybe we did already. I don't know. Are we streaming now? Is that are we on? Do we know? I don't know. Maybe.
Not yet.
All right. We're hoping to do that so that we can stream live on YouTube today. The triumphant return of YouTube. That's our goal, and we're hoping to make that happen momentarily. And you'll see my eyes way better. But if I were to show you my neck, you'd see all kinds of red, scabby things going down. So that's why I'm going to cover that up. So, and makeup's a wonderful thing, which I happen to have because of all my many Fox News appearances. In Minnesota, Waltz has a favorability rating of 49% and an unfavorability rating of 48%. That means that he's got 1% margins in his home state. There's a great piece about this in National Review from Dan McLaughlin, which is that when you look at how Waltz does in his own state, he's viewed favorably by a razor thin margin. You contrast that with J.D. Vance. J.D. Vance is hugely liked in his home state of Ohio. Waltz is not a popular guy, so he's not helping. But if they got this male problem, they got this men problem, young men, old men of color, white men. By the way, men of color is a stupid term. George Carlin explained that for us many, many years ago. That's a stupid term, and I refuse to use it. But anyway, if you don't believe me, if you're one of the haters, if you're taking time to tweet negative things about me or email negative things about me, say whatever you want. Just keep listening. Here's Catty Kay on MSNBC this morning, Morning Joe. She's a Morning Joe contributor talking about the struggle for the Harris campaign is dudes. Cut 20.
So they still believe they can and will win Pennsylvania, but, you know, they feel good about Michigan. They feel good about Wisconsin, relatively good. You know, it may be a landslide. Maybe they'll win by a full percentage point in both of those states. But in Pennsylvania, they know it's going to be a fight, and it's going to be a fight because she's doing better, much better among women and most young voters. But older white men, just like people thought after Biden left the race, more of a challenge pulling them to vote against Trump again.
Yeah, I mean, older white men, and actually to
younger white men
too, also a bit of a challenge. I mean, that number they'll like a lot, up plus five in Pennsylvania, because you're right, it's the new Ohio, it's the new Florida, it's the state where they see they have the most problems. And of course, then either the concern or the upside, depending on how you look at this from the Harris campaign's point of view, is that Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin people think will break the same way. Mm-hmm. That's what they've done traditionally ever since 1980. I think there's one exception. And so if they lose Pennsylvania, what would that then mean for Wisconsin and Michigan? If they win Wisconsin and Michigan, does that mean they're going to win Pennsylvania? But that's why they're putting so much resources into that. But it's men. I mean, I think the real struggle for the Harris campaign is young men, older men, men of color, white men, and they are doing all they can. You can see, I think, the debate next week will be really interesting to see how Tim Walz reaches out to that group. Mm-hmm. Doug Emhoff, who I interviewed yesterday, I think we've got a clip of that we can have later on the program. He is making a concerted effort in his own way to reach out to that group. They know that that's where they have a weakness.
That's where they have a weakness. We know that. That's where they have a weakness. It's dudes. It's men. That's the problem. And you know what? A lot of these men they're talking about work for a living. See, I think it's beyond just the fact that men don't like her because she's a woman or whatever other thing they're trying to. I think it's the fact that these are people that work for a living and they don't like her economic plans. They don't like her economic plans, and they're very, very concerned by all the nonsense that she's peddling all the time when it comes to the economy. So their thinking was pick generic white dude, right? So generic white dude's going to save them. and they go with Tim Walz. Big mistake, because the guy is not even liked in his home state of Minnesota. Now, they're probably going to win Minnesota, because Minnesota is a lefty-leaning state. No big deal. That's fine. But what he doesn't do is help them overcome the problem that they have with white men. Here's another problem, is that they're down big with black men. Like, if you look at where Joe Biden was in 2020 with the black vote, and Kamala Harris is down by at about in the maybe in the 60s with black support, that's really low compared to where Biden was. This is why I say Trump doesn't need to win the black vote. He just has to undercut it. And you undercut the Latino vote, or in his case, he's winning the Latino vote in many areas. And you don't have to dominate in those categories. You just have to undercut where the Democrat stronghold was. But remember what the Democrat stronghold always was. Really, up until 2016, it was white working class voters. That was their stronghold. Union guys, union gals, people that work for a living. That was their base. That was their stronghold. That's gone now, baby. That's gone. That group's left. That group's not coming back. They don't want to come back. They found the new home with Trump. They like him. They know that he's fighting for them. And they know how expensive this economy is and how much this economy stinks. And so they don't like it. And that's the problem for Kamala Harris. And every time she goes out there and every time she babbles and every time she says, and we are officially live on YouTube right now, so join the fun, join the chat, 1210WPHC.com, our YouTube page. Stream along with the show, all right? Comment along. And you can see me, because that's all we're really showing at the moment. But we will be having major upgrades going forward to this streaming experience for you. Don't you worry. It's going to be fun. It's going to be great. But no, really, they watched the interview with Stephanie Ruhle, which, by the way, just so you know, because I pay attention to what the other side says, the guys on Pod Save America, they're trying their best to defend this. They're trying their best to defend her debate performance. They know she blew it. They know she blew that debate, too. Hell, Stephanie Ruhle knows she blew the debate. And I mean, the interview with her, and she's the one that conducted the interview. And she has to acknowledge that Kamala Harris couldn't even handle her own puff interview with her buddy, Stephanie Ruhle, who a week earlier was saying she didn't even have to debate. In fact, here's Stephanie Ruhle defending her Harris interview. You know why she's not answering questions? Come on, you know this, obviously. Cut number five.
And do I think that she answers every single question and gives people exactly what they want? She doesn't. Do you know why? Because she's a politician. And none of them do. They all speak in platitudes. But Donald Trump has given absolutely nothing except mass deportations, which would be a huge issue for our economy. And he just says, you know, I delivered you the best economy ever, and I'm going to put across, you know, blanket tariffs. But the thing that I think she needs to answer for more is, despite all of the economic wins over the last 4 years, despite the fact that Donald Trump emotionally connected with that blue collar worker, but he didn't deliver for that blue collar worker, she needs to solve for why he still polls better on economic issues with voters, because that to me is mind boggling.
Let's break that down a second. So she's acknowledging what I just said, is that the blue collar workers like Trump. They like Trump. Her idea is that he didn't deliver for them, but yet somehow they still like him. No, you see, if he didn't deliver for the blue collar workers, here's a tip. They wouldn't like him anymore. That's the thing. That's how that usually works. If I like you, but you don't deliver for me, I don't like you anymore. You know what I mean? If you don't deliver the goods, I don't like you. If you don't deliver my food, I don't like you anymore. It's like if I like you, you're my Grubhub food delivery guy, but you don't show up with the food, I don't like you anymore. The blue collar workers like him, Stephanie Ruhle, because he delivered. It's not, she thinks they're stupid. This is the problem. It comes from a place of arrogance. You know, the arrogance is like, oh, well, you know, these blue collar guys, they just don't understand. They're under like a spell or something. But if somebody can just convince them that Donald Trump really didn't deliver for them, that their own eyes are lying to them, then everything will be fine. But these guys know that Trump delivered for them because they know that the economy was better when Trump was president, which is why they still like him, which is why the blue collar guys still like him. Harris was so bad with Stephanie Ruhle. The New York Times published a piece entitled "Harris Has a Lot of Strengths. Giving Interviews Isn't One of Them." Now, that piece was in the far right wing New York Times. And you know what's happening right now? It is the, we got to go out there and explain to everybody, listen, she's very gifted, very good, except at doing interviews or debates or thinking on her feet or in front of crowds without a teleprompter or impromptu spontaneous moments or answering questions ever or acting like a normal human being in a convenience store when somebody hands her a bag of chips. Okay, we have to pretend like, don't worry, she's really good, all right? Really, really good, except if somebody hands her a bag of Doritos, in which case then she's like a deer in headlights and doesn't know how to respond. Or if somebody just asks her anything, any question that she doesn't have the answer for right in front of her. Otherwise, she's good. Or if there's a spontaneous chant about, you know, no more deportations, and then she might start dancing and singing and chanting with it. But other than that, she's good. She's really good. Right? She's solid. Except for all those other things. You know, like talking to the press, talking to just voters, talking to anyone. Kamala's poor interview skills are due to her professional experience, you see. They're due to her professional experience. Which is funny to me because I thought she was a, what's the word for it? Trying to think. Begins with a P. Prosecutor, right. And I thought as a prosecutor, you argued cases in a courtroom. And in doing so, you really refine your skills to think on your feet, be critical, be able to, you know, think on the fly, right? Because you are a prosecutor. Except if you don't actually do the prosecuting yourself. You know what I mean? If you have other people do the prosecuting for you, then you're not going to gain those skills. If you're not actually doing the prosecution because other people are doing the prosecution for you, because you like the title, but you don't actually like going into the courtroom and doing that whole pesky prosecuting a case thing, then you're not going to refine those skills. That's a problem. So, yeah, you can say she's got a very professional background, but did they not sell this person as somebody who was fiercely trained in the courtroom? Her only client was the American people. Her only client was you. You were her only client. You, the American people. And yet we were supposed to believe that as a prosecutor, she was ready for the tough questions. And not only that, she was going to prosecute the case against Donald Trump. Here's the tiny little asterisk there. She never really prosecuted any cases. So she lost on that valuable skill. It's like my son has football practice tonight, but the practice got rained out. So if he doesn't practice, he doesn't gain the skills in order to play the game. Her background prepared her to be asking the tough questions. Not answering them. Got it? Not answering them. There's a problem with that, though, which is that if you ask a tough question in court, and I'm not an attorney, and I don't play one on YouTube, but if you ask a tough question in court, you may have to ask a follow-up question, which might involve you thinking on your feet. Or you may have to, in that moment after you've asked a question, come up with another answer in your head to a question that the defendant or somebody else may be thinking and asking, and you may have to ask it in your head and think, what could the answer be, and do I want to ask it in court? And then all those things, all the processes that are involved in that, what we call critical thinking. But if you're never actually trying cases, you don't really gain that skill. No. Oh, it's bad. And Tim Walz is going to be the great white savior. So Stephanie Ruhle says, all right, she's not good at this, but we just have to convince all those blue collar guys who love Trump that they shouldn't love Trump because he didn't deliver for them, even though they love Trump because of how he delivered for them. So that's the challenge. Okay, ready? Break. Everybody go to your battle stations and see if we can pull this off. See if we can do this great mind cleanse of the blue-collar workers in this country, just to make them believe that what they feel in their heart is not real. And their love for Donald Trump, it's all based on nothing other than the fact that they're idiots. Stephanie Ruhle and these other people don't understand the bond Trump has with these workers, and the bond that he has with them is because he did deliver for them, and he did deliver for the economy, and he's promising to do so again. They like that. That's why they want to vote for him. That's why, despite what their union leadership says, they're supporting him, as reflected in the Teamsters poll, the Steam Fitters poll, and the poll of every other union of working men and women outside of government unions like the IRS. All right? It's Friday. The big story of the day brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com, with two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Reach out to him today for your perfect smile. We got a great show for you. Linda McMahon is going to join us next. She is the former head of the Small Business Administration. My buddy, Caroline Leavitt, the Trump National Press Secretary, is going to come on the show. Dr. Victoria Coates, Dinesh D'Souza, he's got a new movie out, and Dr. Wilfred Riley. We are loaded up, jam-packed show for you, baby, on a Friday. And don't forget, Friday, October 11th, just 2 weeks from today, we'll be live 2 weeks? Yeah, 2 weeks. We'll be live in Cape May for our next live show at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, okay? So mark your calendar, Friday, October 11th, 3 to 7 p.m. Last time, the Zioli Army stormed the beaches of Cape May, biggest crowd ever. I want to beat that number, okay? So you better be there or you're dead to me. We'll be right back.
The Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Baby, it's Friday. Friday feeling. We're excited. And if you are in Bucks County, you're in for a treat this weekend because J.D. Vance is coming your way. That's right. He's coming your way. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zioli. We are streaming live on YouTube right now. It's a pleasure to welcome back to the show Linda McMahon. She served as President Donald Trump's cabinet. She was served in his cabinet as the United States Ambassador of the Small Business Administration. Also former president and CEO of World Wrestling Entertainment, is currently the chair of the board for America First Policy Institute. Follow her on X at Linda_McMahon. It's great to have you back on the show. How are you?
I'm doing just great. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me again.
You bet. You bet. Everybody's talking about businesses and the economy, and it's obvious from all these polls that come out that the working people of this country are standing with Donald Trump, despite what their union leadership says.
Well, they are because he has a proven track record. I mean, look what happened, under the Trump administration. We had, the Trump tax cut jobs plan, tax cut policy passed, and the help that it did for small businesses, across the board. I mean, I find it, I almost have to chuckle that now Vice President Harris is coming out so strongly for small businesses and what a great part of the economy they are. And, you wonder what they were thinking during the past 3.5 years when they were raising taxes and increasing regulations on small businesses, making the environment very difficult to access capital, eliminating the apprenticeship programs, making it harder for the workforce to be in the environment, and trying to eliminate the gig economy, for entrepreneurs. These were all things that just really push down small business. And, from the NFIB, the National Federation of Independent Businesses perspective, for the past straight almost 30 months, the optimism level for small businesses relative to this administration has been declining. And so when the Biden administration talked about how many jobs they created and all of these things, it's just bunk. The facts are there, as to what went on under the Trump administration and versus the Harris administration, now even what Vice President Harris is proposing. So I know the small business owners that listen to a lot of what she is proposing must chuckle to themselves.
Let's think about this idea of the corporate tax rate. All right. So Trump has come out and said 15% corporate tax rate if you manufacture in the United States of America. Since you were in the cabinet as the head of the SBA and you know the struggles for businesses and you know how hard it is for American manufacturing because it's very expensive to do business here, which is why they outsource a lot of jobs. Now, to the credit of the Trump administration, to the credit of you, Linda McMahon, you guys work to eliminate a lot of regulations, a ton of regulations. Trump said the other day, for every new regulation you bring me, you're going to have to get rid of 10 of them now. But what kind of a carrot is this to manufacturers to say you only have to pay 15% corporate tax rate if you manufacture here in the United States of America?
Well, first of all, let me address one of your other points. When you're talking about our regulatory costs, since the Biden-Harris administration has come in office, they have added, now listen to this number carefully, $1.7 trillion in new regulatory costs and nearly 333 million hours of paperwork to businesses since 2021. Now, small businesses don't have armies of lawyers and consultants. And Harris claims she wants to provide new incentives for manufacturing. Her administration has added $50,000 in costs per employee to small manufacturers since they've been in office. So why not? They were addressing all of these things.
Yeah.
You know, they would be bringing down costs. But if you're a manufacturer and you're in this country and you're making your stuff here, and President Trump is saying that he's going to lower the tax rate even more, that's an incredible incentive for manufacturers to make stuff here. Incredible incentive. We saw what happened when they lowered it, you know, to the current rates from where they were under the Obama Biden administration. And it's just amazing that the Harris administration, the Biden-Harris administration, and now what the Harris-Waltz, I have trouble saying all this, is proposing, you know, to do for businesses is just incredible. I mean, yeah, you know, President Harris says she's going to offer $50,000 tax deduction for small businesses. Well, it's really funny because under the Trump administration, we proposed an increase in that tax deduction from what it is currently, $5,000 to $20,000. And every Republican voted for it. Every Democrat voted against it. So it stayed at a $5,000 credit. So when Harris is talking about, I'm going to raise it tenfold to $50,000, all the Democrats in their administration had already voted down that it not be increased to $20,000. So just everything they're coming at this is just false, and it's just a political ploy at this race as we're coming down to less than 40 days now to the election. And you know, small businesses know that. I went to every state when I was the SBA administrator. I visited small businesses in all 50 states. I have to tell you, not one of them said, please give me a bigger tax deduction. What they wanted, and not a bigger tax and a credit, what they really wanted was stability in the tax market, because you really don't know how to plan if you're a business owner if constantly the rules are changing. Let them have consistency. Let them know what the tax rate's going to be. Let them know what the regulatory environment's going to be. It's not a problem dealing with decreases, but boy, it is a real, real problem dealing with increases.
Linda McMahon is with me, the former small business administrator. Farmers, small farms, are they considered small businesses? Because I know, I mean, obviously agriculture is a huge industry in Pennsylvania. And I was happy to see that the president went out to Western PA the other day, did a store, you know, tour, talked to farmers, small grocery stores. I mean, those are considered small businesses, right?
Absolutely, they are.
And so the threat of China on them, I mean, it's real. And I really don't think people understand it.
No, we have to do more to protect our farmers. And even, you know, when President Trump, passed the tariffs in place against, goods and knew that farmers were going to be hurt for a while, you know, he absolutely had the subsidy that came in and supported them during that process. But we just can't allow the Chinese or anyone else to come in and be buying up our farmland, especially around areas where we have military installations, et cetera. The other thing that really impacts farmers and other small businesses is federal estate taxes, which the Biden administration is looking to increase. Often, the people who inherit these family-owned small farms have to sell the farms just to pay the taxes on them when their parents or whoever owned them beforehand died. And that's just, it's just really backwards. You have this farm, this is the sole source of income for a family, the people who own it die, and those who inherit it are forced to sell to pay taxes. So our system is just backwards when that kind of thing happens.
J.D. Vance is coming to Bucks County this weekend. He's got a roundtable. It'll be in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. Obviously, Pennsylvania is so important in this race, Linda McMahon. And I think that J.D. Vance really represents, and certainly what he wrote about in Hillbilly Elegy, which is the loss of American manufacturing jobs, the loss of the American dream, and what happened when these dreams were outsourced. So it makes sense, you know, that Donald Trump is out there talking about how there's going to be tariffs on products that come into this country. Now, there are people that come out and say, yeah, but the Harris campaign says, but a tariff is another form for tax, and this is just a tax, and you're proposing a national sales tax. How do you respond to that?
Oh, it's just absolutely ludicrous. I mean, look, tariffs, I think, you know, tariffs are designed so that we have, you know, equal opportunity. I mean, when our products go to other countries, you know, and they're taxed, and it makes it impossible for our manufacturers to distribute our products in other countries. Don't you think it's only right that we should have fair and reciprocal trade in this country? If you're going to tax our cars that go overseas, then we're going to tax yours that are coming in here. You know, under the Trump administration, when we passed, you know, the USMCA trade agreement, that was the first time that we had actually a chapter for small businesses in a trade agreement that opened up, you know, Canada and Mexico for our small businesses to ship the product into those countries. And it really opened up markets. And so tariffs are necessary to make sure that our workers and that our businesses are treated fairly.
All right, last question I have for you, and that's this. When you were with me at the Republican National Convention, you remember you came on my show. It was a Monday. We had a great chat. We caught up. It was wonderful to see you again. We had a really nice talk, and you did a great interview on the show. And then when the interview ended, we took some pictures together, and I made a comment to you about how I loved Hulk Hogan growing up. He was one of my heroes. And then Hulk Hogan shows up Thursday night at the Republican National Convention. Linda McMahon, can I take credit for Hulk Hogan showing up at the RNC?
Oh, absolutely. Take full credit for it.
Thank you. Thank you so much, because I have been in my head for the whole time, but I was hoping you could confirm that for us. So you've done me a big favor here. I can't thank you enough. You made my day.
You're so welcome. It's a pleasure to chat with you again. And I really do believe that those small business owners that we have throughout the country totally understand the benefit they had under the Trump administration. It was a much better life for all of us with that economy.
Thank you so much for joining us, Linda McMahon, former administrator of the Small Business Administration, cabinet official, close advisor to President Donald Trump. Follow her on X at Linda_McMahon. And of course, the former president and CEO of World Wrestling Entertainment. Thank you for joining us here in Philadelphia. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Bye-bye.
Bye.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Did you hear that, Matt DeSantis? I'm the reason Hulk Hogan spoke at the Republican National Committee convention. I'm the reason. Linda McMahon just confirmed it. I put the idea in her head, and then she texted Terry and was like, hey, can you come speak Thursday night? He wasn't on the schedule, the roster. I put the idea in her head.
I'm sure Hulk Hogan's presence is going to generate more votes as well. So you may very well have single-handedly got Donald Trump elected.
I agree 100%. And that moment where he, you know, ripped off his shirt, and that moment brought everybody back to their childhood, you can thank me for that. Because had I not put that idea in Linda McMahon's head, she picked up, remember, she was texting somebody. I didn't know who it was. She just starts texting. I bet you she was texting Hulk. Was like, we need you here to speak at the RNC.
I almost played his. I was talking with DeSantis out of the break. I almost played his theme music out of the break.
Yeah, you should.
We'll have her on again, and I'll do it next time.
Next time we got to play Real American. That's got to be Linda McMahon's walk up music when she comes on the show. Like Victoria Coates has hers. That'll be Linda McMahon's walk up music.
There we go.
Yeah, I mean, Trump's going to win, so she'll be back probably in the cabinet again in some capacity. So we'll have her back on the show, and then, you know. But now everybody knows Hulk Hogan being at the RNC, yours truly. All right? It's the least I can do. All right? Happy to help.
I'm going to clip that, turn it into a promo so that nobody ever forgets it.
Thank you. I would appreciate if you do that for us. That would actually be a big help. Thank you. All right. So as we continue along here on the show on our Friday, and we got a great show for you coming up. I want to thank my friends at Emmons Roofing and Siding for all their incredible support and the great work they've done in my home. Two homes now, the home we used to own and the home we own now. They've done it all for me. Roof, siding, windows, doors. And the best part is right now, because they know the economy is so challenging for so many people, an inflation relief discount of 10% off. 10% off roofing, siding, Anderson windows, doors, and so much more. Your home is not only going to look more beautiful from the curb, it's going to be ready to withstand the elements. And you know those elements are coming because winter's right around the corner. So if you need that roof inspected, get a free inspection from my friends at Emmons. They are trustworthy, honest. They will do great work for you. 856-885-6677. 856-885-6677. They serve Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and the Jersey Shore. And their work is outstanding. That's why we keep using them for projects. They just did a new kitchen door for me just a couple of weeks ago. And the door looks great. And it's beautiful, functional, and it's better insulated, too. So reach out to them today and get that 10% off inflation relief discount. They know how important you are to me, and they're going to do great work for you. That's EmmonsRoofing.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Bulletproof. Saw that song on social media today. It's pretty cool, pretty catchy. Country tune. We like country on this tune. Now, how does it work, Justin, with the YouTube stream with the music? Because I know we run into copyright issues and all the nonsense, and How does it work? Is the YouTube army, are they hearing the music or not?
They are hearing the music. After the VOD gets after we're done and the video of the show today gets published, I think there's a way we can go in and like edit out the back, like edit out the backs, so
right,
we can actually have the show be up and not get sent to copyright hell.
Good, because we don't want to be in copyright hell. That's good. Excellent. Because we are streaming live on YouTube, and we're going to stream live every day going forward. Kirk's helping out now with the stream, which is great, which is awesome. So we're going to be doing more developments in the future, including playing clips and having more guests on the stream as well. We want to make it a more comprehensive entertainment experience, so you're not just staring at me the whole time. Because as much as it's lovely to stare at me the whole time, I want you to be able to see other things too. So that's where our plans are for expansion of the Zeoli Show YouTube experience going forward. And that's going to be a lot of fun. So, Caroline Levitt's going to join us in a few minutes. Dinesh D'Souza is going to be on the show later today. There's a shocking report out about the border, though. I mean, holy cow. It's like, you can't believe this, what's going on at the border and how bad the situation is. How many bad hombres are coming across, and then they're getting arrested, and then they're getting released. And this is happening all at the southern border right now. And it's really, it's shocking how this can happen in the United States of America. And Bill Malusian was down there reporting on this. But it drives home why immigration is such a huge, huge issue in this election. It really does. It drives it home because everybody keeps turning around and says, and they see it with their own eyes. They see the carnage and they understand the destruction, but they cannot deal with the fact that this administration keeps locking up, like arresting people and then letting them back on the street. You know, letting them back on the street, and that's what we're happening with murderers and rapists and all the other things. And all the things that Trump's saying, it's true. It's all proven in the numbers. So here's a report from Bill Malusian. He was down at the southern border reporting on this for Fox News. Take a listen.
Yeah, and Sandra, bear with me. We just got these numbers moments ago, but it's a jaw dropper to say the least. So to set the stage here, let me just explain what these numbers mean. ICE has something called a non-detained docket. Essentially what that is it means migrants who were encountered by DHS but are no longer in federal custody. So who's on this non-detained docket? It's illegal immigrants who were caught and released at the border, released with the court date years away. They're in immigration proceedings combined with illegal immigrants. immigrants who have already been ordered, deported from the country by a judge, but are still here roaming the country. So keep that in mind, this non-detained docket. According to a letter that the acting director of ICE just sent to Texas Congressman Tony Gonzalez, on ICE's non-detained docket, they're currently tracking 425,000 non-citizens who have been convicted of a crime. Of that number, over 13,000 non-citizens have convictions for homicide and are on the non-detained docket, meaning they're roaming the country right now. On top of that, there are another 15,811 non-citizens convicted of sexual assault who are roaming the country right now on ICE's non-detained docket. It doesn't stop there. Those are convictions. The ICE director also says there are currently just under 1,900 non-citizens on the non-detained docket who have pending homicide charges who are roaming the country, and another 4,250 non-citizens who have pending sexual assault charges who are roaming the country on the non-detained docket. So people's eyes might be glazing over right now with all the numbers we just threw at you. Just to put it in a nutshell right here, what we've learned from the acting ICE director via this letter to Congressman Tony Gonzalez is right now there are over 13,000 illegal aliens convicted of homicide who are roaming the United States right now. There are another 15,811 illegal aliens roaming the country right now who have been convicted of sexual assault, and there are even more who are facing charges for homicide and charges for sexual assault. So this just goes to show, guys, the non-detained docket has exploded under the Biden administration to over, I believe it's 7.3 million. They're anticipating it could hit 8 million by the end of the year. But looking at the numbers on this letter right here, there are currently over 600,000 non-citizens on ICE's non-detained docket who are either convicted, or, 600,000 non-citizens on this non-detained docket who are roaming the country right now. Of that, 425,000 have already been convicted of crimes. 222,000 are pending crimes. And again, the most serious crimes we just told you about, over 13,000 convicted of homicide, over 15,000 convicted of...
This is insane because these are convictions. It's not even people accused of crime. It's convictions. 13,000 convicted of homicide and they're roaming the streets. Convicted rapists roaming the streets. Like, what the hell is happening here? All right, big 4 o'clock hour coming up. We'll talk to Caroline Levitt about that and Dinesh D'Souza later in the show. Your thoughts and comments. We're streaming on YouTube. Join the fun. Join the chat. People are telling me to stop touching my eye. I know, you're right. I got to stop touching my eye. It's itchy, though. My neck's, it's all itchy. It's shingles, baby. What are you going to do? But don't worry. We're going strong, and we'll be right back.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.